And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I am talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about the prettiest little town down yonder on the plains. And I even mean there's big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Oh, man. Okay, so hey, listen. We do this once a week. Like, every once in a while, you got to recognize that the world of cultural commentary and politics is not always the most important. We got to find some time to break away from it once in a while, catch our breath. And one of the ways we do that around here is we go with a round of what we like to call JP on sports. So JP, in case you did not know, is a sports guru. He's an aficionado. He knows stuff. And he's got his own radio show on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on the Ump out of Huntsville. And so I would encourage you to check it out. In the meantime, on Fridays, we do a thing we call JP on Sports. JP on Sports. All right, so we run this thing in two rounds. The first one we call the three and out. He gives us the top three stories he thinks are out there in the world of sports. And it can be anything. And then we come back after the break and he does the two-minute warnings where he has 2 minutes on any and everything sports he can think of. JP, I can imagine what a few of the topics are, but three and out, ready to go.
Well, we talked about it last week too, but Super Bowl Sunday is this upcoming weekend between the Chiefs and the Eagles. The Chiefs looking to three-peat, which I think 98% of the people watching don't want them to. The 2% being Chiefs fans that are still out there somewhere. But yeah, it looks like the, in my opinion, the Chiefs are at the 3-peat. But the Eagles, I mean, this is a rematch of the Super Bowl the year before last. And it was decently close. But I think Jalen Hurts has gotten a lot better since the Super Bowl as well. He's had more time to mature and get some more experience under his belt. So we'll see if that experience plays off. But also, there's one key player on the Eagles that wasn't on there last time, and that would be Saquon Barkley, who won Offensive Player of the Year and the NFL Awards last night. So I think that could be a key acquisition that would put them over the edge to beat the Chiefs this time. But, I mean, the Chiefs just know how to win, and it's really annoying because whether it's controversial calls or it's, you know, it seems like the ball always bounces their way when they need it to. I mean, they went 15-1 in the regular season, and I think 8 to 10 of those wins were by one or less than one score. So it's like they just know how to win when it counts. So I think it's a fair bet to say that the Chiefs will figure out a way to do it again. But like I said, the Eagles did not have Saquon Barkley last time when they played him, and that's a big acquisition for them. So we'll see if that experience plays off or pays off for them. But also a key stat that I think a lot of our listeners, this is relevant to them. We got 6 former Alabama players playing on the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Wow. Devontae Smith, Tyler Steen, Jalen Hurts, Byron Young, and I think a couple of others are slipping my mind at the moment. Devontae Smith is looking to become the 5th player ever to win the national championship, the Super Bowl, and the Heisman. Wow. So that's another storyline going on there. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how many times the camera goes to Taylor Swift in this game too. So I think that counter's gonna be. Trump will be there as well though, so we'll see how many times he gets.
Is Taylor Swift gonna have a chance to like buddy up to Donald Trump and ask forgiveness and all that?
I do not see that happening. I don't think Trump would even want to be in the same booth as her. So
did her boyfriend Kelsey? Did he support her in her support of Kamala Harris? Do you know?
Well, I don't think he openly said anything about it. He actually made a statement this week about how it's cool no matter who the president is that they come to the Super Bowl.
I saw that.
So he hasn't been very open, but he was in a Pfizer commercial. So make with that.
There you have it. Okay.
But yeah, so maybe not the matchup that a lot of NFL fans wanted, myself being included. I would rather see the Bills or the Commanders or you know, in there, but looks like the Chiefs are probably going to three-peat, if you ask me.
In New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Security's got to be massive in New Orleans right now, and especially after they had that terrorist attack not long ago.
So yeah.
This is going to be something else.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be, and plus with Trump being there, you know, it's going to be even higher. So hopefully everything goes safe and nothing out of the ordinary happens. But yeah, I think this is the 5th Super Bowl in New Orleans ever. So, I mean, that's a beautiful dome. I went there for the Final Four one time for basketball. But yeah, it's a massive, massive stadium. Great venue for them to have a Super Bowl in.
All right, so 3 and out. That's 1. What's 2?
College basketball is continuing with the SEC schedule. We continue to see SEC teams just climb up the ladder in the rankings. We're still on pace to have 10 SEC teams in the March Madness right now. And we see Auburn playing number 6, Florida at home. So this is a big-time matchup. I mean, it's so hard to win at Auburn, but Florida has played awesome all year. So they're going to have their hands, you know, full for sure against the Gators. And then we'll see Alabama, after having the whole week off, they'll be going to Arkansas, who just pulled off a great win in Kentucky last week, which, by the way, Coach Kyle Perry, his first game back in Kentucky. He got booed as he entered the arena, by the way, which is kind of nuts to me. I mean, I may want to talk about this more in the 2-minute warning, but you won the national championship. You won a national championship for a school, and you come back and you get booed. Like, that just seems like Kentucky fans deserved to lose that game to Cal. But they struggled. Arkansas was like 1-7 in the SEC going into that game, and they beat a top-ranked Kentucky at home, and they've been on a roll ever since. So this is going to be a hard game for Alabama going to Arkansas. These are the kind of games you have to win if you want to win a, you know, regular season championship for the SEC. So both Alabama and Auburn are going to have their hands full this week. And then also for our Tennessee fans out there listening, they'll be going to Oklahoma. So not a great SEC team in terms of their record in the conference, Oklahoma, but it being at Oklahoma, it's never easy to win on the road in the SEC. So those are some of the top SEC matchups for this week. And we'll see. So I believe, yeah, next weekend we got the IBOB round one of Alabama and Auburn. So
what's it cost to get tickets to that? You told us one time.
So last time I checked,
the Iron Bowl of basketball.
Yeah, the cheapest I see right now are like $350, which isn't horrible, because Alabama has got kind of a bigger airplane hangar kind of a arena. The game in Auburn will probably be closer to 1,000. It's going to be up there. But fingers crossed, if Alabama and Auburn both win their games, we'll have the first top five IBOB ever for basketball. So that'd be pretty cool. And if Duke loses, we could have 1-2, Alabama and Auburn.
Did you see, by the way, this is a bit of an aside, but did you see the clip of Coach Pearl, Bruce Pearl from Auburn, with the Jewish students?
I did, yeah.
That was pretty epic, I thought.
Listen, I know I've told you this. As an Alabama fan, like, obviously I can't stand Bruce Pearl. However, it's hard not to like him because he's so outspoken on politics, and he's always right, you know? And I got to admire how brave he is to be as outspoken, not only just with politics and, like, Republican politics, but being a Jewish man and being so outspoken towards, you know, the war in Gaza and, you know, trying to protect Israel. It seems like the entire nation has turned anti-Semitic a little bit almost. So I gotta give him props for being brave and putting his beliefs out there no matter the backlash he gets. And who knows, maybe we'll see Bruce Pearl after his career pull a Tommy Tuberville and run for office or something. It'd be hard. I would vote for him. I think he'd be awesome.
Or become ambassador to Israel. Who knows?
It's something, yeah.
All right, that's three and out. That's two. What you got? What's three?
Well, I think this deserved a whole three and out topic of its own of Trump's executive order this week, banning transgenders from female sports nationwide. It's been long overdue, but also kind of sad and embarrassing that he needs to do that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we saw the NCAA, apparently they're going to take a review or look over it to try to align with, I don't even know what that means. He signed the executive
order.
They
don't either.
You know, it seems pretty easy to ban dudes from girls' sports, but at least they're somewhat backtracking, it looks like, and trying to cover their tracks and align with what Trump just did. But yeah, like I said, it's long overdue, and we're starting to see stories like we did. What was the volleyball team? San Jose State had a male on their team. We saw so many teams forfeit before their own safety. We also saw, you know, stuff like in the Olympics, which is an NCAA, but still it's kind of sets a precedent that the gold medal winner for women's boxing was a dude. And it tried to say that he was not, but then it came out later that he was. So, you know, Trump signing that executive order, like I said, it's long overdue, and hopefully it will set a precedent for not only college sports, but high school sports that we see this in, you know, sports everywhere to protect young girls and their safeties. It's, I mean, I have a sister who's playing college basketball, and I do not want her going up against a dude, you know, who claims to be a girl, because the injury risk is so high in that factor. So I'm very glad, and also him signing the executive order with all the young girl athletes around him, that that almost made me tear up a little bit, because it's beautiful. You know, it's something that needed to be done a long time ago. But yeah, we'll see if the NCAA can do something more convincing and you know, make a statement other than we're going to look over this and try to align with it.
Yeah, how about you be a leader? Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing? NCAA, since you're like the premier agency for athletics and college level.
Multi-billion-dollar institution. Yeah. But, you know, it's at least, you know, we're starting to see some people and organizations backtrack from their word salads that they were giving before about why they can't do anything about it. Hopefully this executive order puts an end to that and they're forced to do something about it.
So, listen, your sister is extremely competitive.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure I'd be more worried about any guy that got on the court with her.
Well, we played basketball in the cul-de-sac my whole life, and I think the last time, or I stopped playing against her when she beat me. when she beat me, I was like, all right, we're done.
Wait. That what year was that?
I think she was about a freshman in high school. Eighth grade freshman in high school was when she, you know. But yeah, I agree. She would compete with them, but at the same time, you know, I mean, the physical aspect of boxing out, pushing, you know, it's just genetically different, you know, it puts them at risk. So
yep,
I'm very glad that this executive order was signed.
That's cool. I'm glad that was in your top three. All right, listen, we're gonna take a break right now. We'll come right back. That flew by. We'll come right back and we'll jump into round two of JP on Sports. We call it the 2 minute warning. He gets 2 minutes on every topic. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and we just run the gamut, and it can be anything and everything sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to go to round two of JP on Sports, and don't forget, coming up top of the hour, right after the next break, State Senator April Weaver calling in because she just successfully got the What is a Woman Act bill passed in the Alabama State Senate. Glad to hear it. And it goes now to the House, where I'm sure Susan DeBose is going to have equal success. But let's go ahead and go to round two of JP on Sports. JP, give me one test run of the buzzer. Test run. Buzzer works. All right, you have 2 minutes on every topic. First topic, ready, go.
So staying on the thread of politics and sports, the NFL made a statement that they will not be rescinding their DEI practices within
really?
The organization.
Wow.
You know, we've seen a big trend of that, of, you know, companies taking back their DEI. You know, we saw Google do that, but we saw Costco stay in the same, do the sort of same thing the NFL did and deciding to stick with it. It's just a complete joke. And, you know, I saw Ryan Clark, who is a former NFL player, ESPN analyst. He went on his podcast and went on a rant about how DEI is needed because without it, no black coaches will ever be hired. And that's just complete and total crap. And, you know, look at Mike Tomlin for the Steelers. He's a black coach, and he's got one of the safest jobs in the nation. He has never had a losing season in the NFL. And then you look at Todd Boyles, who is the coach for the Buccaneers, who's also a black coach. He's many times stated, you know, he's always been asked questions about, what do you think about being the first black coach to this? Should, you know, ask sort of the questions. And he said he does not like being referred to as a black coach. He
said, Tony Dungy?
Yeah.
I mean, think about
it. You know, it's a joke that to make that argument. But yeah, it's the NFL is sticking with it. Being a multi-billion-dollar organization like them, it's a shame to see that. But I mean, I kind of expected that from the NFL a little bit, but I'm just tired of the narrative that without it, that black coaches won't be uplifted and hired. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan. Raheem Morris is the coach of my team, and I think he's a great coach. And I honestly could care less what color of skin it is, you know, and I don't think any organization truly cares. It's just, it's just a complete joke to argue that. But yeah, we'll see if the NFL caves eventually as other sports leagues may follow suit and get rid of their DEI. But I don't know. I see Roger Goodell as one to be stubborn and not overturn that at all. But hopefully he will.
So NFL keeps the DEI.
Yep, unfortunately.
There's 2 minutes. All right, reset the clock. Next 2 minutes, go.
Speaking of the NFL as well, there was the NFL Awards last night where we saw Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, win the MVP. We also saw Saquon Barkley, like I mentioned earlier, win Offensive Player of the Year. But we also saw Patrick Surtain, former Alabama player, won a Defensive Player of the Year. Rookie of the Year went to Jaden Daniels, and Kevin O'Connell won a Coach of the Year for the Vikings. But there's been a lot of dispute over who should have won the MVP. A lot of people are saying that Lamar Jackson should have won the MVP over Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson, I believe, has already won two MVPs and had another great, great year. I don't know if fatigue played into it a little bit. Honestly, I feel like you could not go wrong with giving the MVP to either Josh Allen or Lamar. They both had awesome, awesome seasons. Josh Allen couldn't get his team across the finish line to beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, but still, I mean, if we're kind of splitting hairs here with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but yeah, I would say that either one could have been right with the MVP there, but you know, I think it's interesting. Saquon Barkley winning Offensive Player of the Year with his first year with the Eagles. You know, he was with the Giants for however long, and it looks like back healthy and on an actual good team, he's having the best year of his career. And in an age where running backs are continuing to be devalued for whatever reason, he's staying above that and proving he's almost elevated the whole market for running backs as a whole just with the season he's had this year. So I think that's they got that one right with the Offensive Player of the Year. And who knows? Like I said, we'll see if Saquon could push the Eagles over the finish line to beat the Chiefs, since they did not have them last time they played the Chiefs. But, yeah, I think MVP has been one of a big discussion, like I said, today. But I think he could have gone right with either one, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. So,
all right, you came in under the clock. Reset the clock. No buzzer on that one. Go.
Well, in the world of college football, I think the biggest headline of the week came from Alabama, because Alabama hired new OC Ryan Grubb, which people are calling it one of the biggest acquisitions of the offseason, and I think it is, because Ryan Grubb, who was with DeBoer at Washington and at Indiana, when he came over to Alabama, he initially did a press conference announcing he's the OC, but then the Seahawks came along and offered him some money, so then he dipped out and became the Seahawks OC. Seahawks fired him, and now Ryan Grubb is coming back to Alabama to be the OC for real this time, because the contract has been signed. He can't go anywhere. So he is officially the OC here, and I think this is DeBoer's biggest move he's done as or his biggest move he's gotten done as Alabama head coach so far, both recruiting players or coaches. I mean, Grubb might be the best offensive mind in college football. I mean, I think he's definitely up there with Chip Kelly and such. But, I mean, it's such a big deal to get him, because we saw offensive uncertainty last year with Alabama with Milroe and then Sheridan, who I think Sheridan is a good OC, but Ryan Grubb is just a whole another level. I mean, he was just in the NFL coaching. So Ryan Grubb officially coming to Tuscaloosa to be the OC with Keelon Russell coming in as a freshman at quarterback, but also Ty Simpson sticking around. It's a big deal to have a solid OC there. So, yeah, looks like DeBoer and Grubb will be reunited once again, and I'm stoked. I know I'm ready for next season to start already with that. So,
yeah. Isn't it funny how the folks who are ultimately successful in the NCAA football don't always transition to a great career in like NFL coaching?
Yeah, it's a different game. It's a completely different game.
I mean, even Saban coached in the NFL for a while and then came struggled. Back to college football.
Yeah. We'll see if Grubb, you know, he struggled in the NFL, but I think he'll be just fine in college, as he's proven.
All right, JP on sports. The music's playing Sweet Home Alabama, which is just very appropriate for what you just finished saying. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.